Earth as a singular planet. In fact, it is anything but. What it is a story not of a universe,
but a multiverse.
Where universes and planets, such as Earth, were replicated and mirrored across a vibrating, infinite plane. Some barely different from the next.
Others drastically so.
This is DC On Screen. Every week, Dave and Jason talk about the multiverse of DC properties on film and television. But be warned, if it's been officially released, you can expect they'll spoil it.
Welcome into DC On Screen, episode 505.
Yay.
I am your host, David C. Robertson. This is my co-host, Jason Goss.
Hello.
What was that little yay?
Seemed exciting.
It seemed exciting. I'm glad it still seems exciting after all these years.
God, it's been too long. All right, now you got me depressed. Let's just start.
Got you depressed? What?
Years. God, they passed so quickly.
It has. It has been years. Oh, man.
I have gray. I'm about to be a parent. I feel old. Let's just keep going. Let's go back to fiction world. Talk about fiction stuff, Dave.
Yeah. Fiction is better sometimes.
I want to do fiction for a minute.
I didn't have a bad week at all. If you guys follow me on social media, I feel compelled. I feel like I have to say something about it. So Saturday was my birthday. I got off work at about 12:30 in the morning. But 12:30 in the morning on my birthday, I was preparing to make some potatoes and onions, to fry up some potatoes and onions, slicing the potatoes on a $5 mandolin from Walmart, and took off the tops of my fingertips.
I just wondered how you'd done that. And the mandolin slicer makes sense.
Yeah, the bastards just slipped down a little further than I thought they were.
The devil in the kitchen, Dave. Devil of the kitchen.
So, rushed to the emergency room. They pumped me full of lidocaine. My fingers, they were all swollen, like big old thick stuffed sausages. And that didn't stop it from hurting them, like shooting me up in the fingertips, in the wounds.
Sure.
With
right in them.
Coagulant, because there was nothing for, you know, the, what do you call them? I don't remember. Whatever. There's nothing for anything to grab onto to start to stop bleeding the capillaries. So yeah. It was just
yeah.
So it like I joked with the nurse that I traded my fingers for blood guns on my birthday. So yeah, and then the next night the gauze, the coagulant gauze that they used to stop the bleeding,
they just threw jello at the top of your hands and were like, put some gauze on it. Go.
Yeah, like there's like a coagulant gauze they use, and they shoved it in there, and it stuck to the wounds. I couldn't get them off like they promised me I'd be able to get them off.
Sure.
So back to the emergency room, and they charged me all over again. I don't know if you know that, but there's no return policy
in an emergency room. No, no.
They're like, oh, well, I mean, this is a separate thing. Well, but you caused it. Well, here's your copay. It's the same as it was.
Do you want to sit around and prove that, or do you want to worry about your loss of blood? It's your call. It's your call.
Right. So they finally gave me some, like, it wasn't bleeding as bad, so, well, one of them was, but they gave me these little yellow strips, and they're like, these won't stick to Gorilla Glue. Well, my fingers aren't Gorilla Glue, and guess what they did the next night? I didn't go back to the emergency room, but thankfully, I'd gone down for a birthday dinner. My sister's a nurse, so she helped me out, gave me some saline and stuff. And
nice.
Oh, my Lord. It's been a rough week.
That is rough. I also wondered, the mandolin makes a lot of sense in a lot of ways, though, because I kept trying to imagine how you had done that. It's your right hand, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I know you're a right-handed cutter.
Uh-huh.
Like, I was trying to, did his hand get tired from chopping too many potatoes, and he went to the other one, the knife was dull, and just, bah,
oh,
nothing.
Nah.
I couldn't figure it out. And it was a weird angle. This all makes more sense. I should have thought of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mandolin slicers, man. Public service announcement. Don't underestimate them. Just
yeah,
don't.
Yeah, and that's the sad thing. Like, I didn't think I was, because, like, I had, like, my hand wrapped in, paper towels, and even considered using an oven mitt. And I'm like, that oven mitt, I probably need to wash it before I actually put food directly on it. So I had my hand wrapped in a paper towel. My fingers just slipped right out of the paper towel.
Oh, the paper towel gave you false comfort, is what happened apparently.
It did. It did. And, you know, they have the little grip. They came, it came with a little grip to hold on to.
You got to get a good one for the little grip to not be crap.
It is. The little grip is crap, and also, like, the potatoes were too small to fit inside the grip.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Those tongs are sharp.
But that said, there was no actual pain when it lopped off my fingers. That thing was sharp.
Yeah, it's a good blade.
For $5 at Walmart? I mean, because it's got, like, separate attachments. It's a cheese grater, two different cheese graters, and a mandolin.
Oh, yeah.
And it has, like, a little, it has, like, a little, compartment that you put a little lid on. It keeps your stuff fresh.
Yeah.
I couldn't find my fingertips. No. I don't know where those went.
They're gone. Burn everything and start over. I mean, for those cheap slicers like that, like, if a dollar of that $5 is profit and another dollar is overhead and shipping, like, for the $3 that are left, like, two of those dollars are sharpening that crappy blade.
Yeah. That blade was sharp.
It means good stuff. Business.
Yeah.
I have used one of the iron, like, well, one of the mesh gloves, you know, like, chainmail gloves. I've used one of those on a slicer before. Just because I thought, why not? And I, at some point, heard a chink and thought, yeah, screw you, buddy. I got you. I won that round.
And you looked in, there's, like, holes in the glove.
Oh, yeah. Now, I mean, that's a glove that I had, like, tested on a deli slicer. And that's a scary feeling when you're running one of the, like, deli slicers with the super fast wheel and you hear, like, a chink. It scares you down at the bottom of your spine. But because it is so sharp that if you got to bone, you wouldn't know for just a fraction of a second.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
The only reason I knew is not because it hurt, but because I felt resistance and I went, oh, no.
That potato was not supposed to object so much.
Yeah, it was like I was holding my fingers were fishing lines, and I felt a tug, and I went, no! And I looked, and sure enough, like, just blood everywhere. Like, oh, no. Yeah, that was the worst part of it, honestly, was all of the freaking shots in my fingertips and, like, ripping the bandages. Because they just ripped the stupid son of a bitch and gauze right off my fingertips, dude.
Yeah. Yeah,
like, they were just, like, dripping some saline on it, going, like, oh, yeah, this will help. Like, no, bullshit.
I got dizzy when you ripped that off. Don't tell me this is helping.
Anyway.
That's rough.
A lot of stuff happened. We should probably talk about it.
Speaking of which.
We weren't around last week.
If you hear any dogs in the background, we have a migraine situation happening right now.
Oh, yeah, we're
so
good,
all the doors are open in my house. And the dogs are available, and I can't lock myself in my DC cave and do my podcasting.
Right.
So.
Well, this is a podcast, so you can have dogs.
Yeah.
Kevin Smith has proven that, if no one else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, been listening to a lot of Time Suck. A lot of dogs on that, too.
Mm-hmm. It's all right. We'll be okay. I'm so excited, though, man. About 40 minutes before, like right now, they released the Harley Quinn DC Universe trailer.
Yes.
The animated series trailer. And I know this is TV, and we don't normally talk about it up front, but, I mean, they did make some swipes at DC movies. They made swipes at everything. They made swipes at the fandom. They made swipes at the Deadpool animated series. This thing looks fantastic.
It can't be qualified or quantified, this trailer. It was fantastic, man. And it really did, like, traverse everything we talk about, everything we worry about at night. Things I've lost sleep over, like, seriously, up at night after just reading too much of Twitter going, like, how are we ever going to get a film out again? Like, why would they give us another film? The fans are just tearing each other apart. Why? Why?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. A little catharsis watching this one.
I don't, you know, if we could just have animated series that are that look as good as this trailer looked, I wouldn't care about ever seeing another film.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be all right.
Look great.
This thing is like, I don't want to do another dark thing. I want to have fun. And we've got Poison Ivy going, they're going to hate it.
Yeah.
They hate everything. We've got Diedrich Bader as Batman reprising the role from Batman the Brave and the Bold, just kind of popping down.
Literally
going,
popping down.
There's no fun in Arkham, Quinn.
Yeah.
It's just so
he's a real buzzkill. Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, I love the little jibes, the little remarks about, like, oh, they're going to hate it. Over and over again. Even when they show the logo, like, oh, they're going to hate it.
Yeah. He's like, oh, is that the logo? I like it. And they're going to hate it.
Yeah.
And there's a great cast here. We're talking about Alan Tudyk is in this thing, Lake Bell, J.B. Smoove of Curb Your Enthusiasm, Jason Alexander from Seinfeld, Wanda Sykes from Blackish and Curb Your Enthusiasm and every damn thing else.
And stand-up.
And, yeah, I mean, well, you know, try to, I just don't want to say from stand up.
I know, it's just where I first learned about her, and she was huge for years.
Well, sure. I'm glad she lost weight. Just kidding, guys.
Okay.
Jim Rash, Diedrich Bader, like I said, Tony Hale, love Tony Hale. I'm just excited about this. This is so fun.
That was a spare no expense cast. Really was.
Absolutely. So we're gonna go ahead and jump back into movies. I just wanted to bring that up.
Super excited.
We are super excited, and it looks super good. you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me a little bit of MTV's Spawn a little bit in the art direction, the backgrounds and stuff. Yeah. And it also reminded me, weirdly, like with Poison Ivy the way she was, it reminded me of Daria.
I swear, I thought of the same thing. Yeah, same thing.
Yeah, another MTV thing.
I believe it was Daria, and yes, I had the same flesh.
Daria, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's been about 20 years. But yeah, Daria.
How dare you not remember that time when MTV had animated?
I remember it. I just brought it up. I just didn't remember
that. I mean, in perfect detail.
Well, I mean,
as though we can announce names in the present day.
We will watch an episode of Supergirl, and you still call her Kara.
I know.
Get off my back, man.
Although, I swear,
sometimes I do that because some characters
refer to her as Kara and Kara.
Yeah.
So sometimes I do it intentionally, and sometimes I forget who the hell I'm talking about.
Roz, Raish, Raish, Raish.
Yeah.
Raj. Have you seen the little cartoon of the cat on the counter on the phone, and he's like, and she said, get off the counter. I'm like, get off my ass.
Mm-hmm. No.
I just saw it recently. Anyway, we're going to jump into movies. Before that, though, if you want to join us on Facebook, because we talked about the finger thing, and we talked about some of this Joker stuff. Last week, we did a canned episode. We got some pretty good response out of that.
That was fun.
Yeah, we did a actress who should play the Joker, so, you know, by all means, that is an evergreen. Go back, listen to it. You don't need anything. Mm-hmm. And join us on Facebook, facebook.com/groups/DC Onscreen Podcast, or leave us a voicemail, 205-259-6331. It's Jordan Valdez's birthday today, by the way.
Oh, happy birthday.
We haven't had a voicemail from that guy in a while. I hope he's okay, prospering, and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so we got Joaquin in makeup.
Yeah, we did.
It's like, it's the Arthur Fleck, by the way. Someone mentioned that it was... the initial A, Fleck, Affleck.
Kevin Smith.
Womp womp. Was it Kevin Smith who brought that up?
I think it was Kevin Smith who actually pointed that out.
I've just seen it on Twitter.
At the very least, he was the one who made it famous, as far as I could tell. I saw several articles referring to him doing it, bringing it up, I think on Fat Man, but I'm not sure about that either. I think it was on Instagram. You know what? I don't know where the hell he brought it up. I think he brought it up. Backtrack.
Every time I see an article that's like,
re-roll.
Kevin Smith has an opinion, I'm like, that's not news. I just move on.
I know constantly that Kevin Smith has an opinion about everything we talk about.
Yeah, and if you get someone who's better at talking than he is, he will believe them and have a different opinion about it.
Yeah.
Which sometimes works in our favor.
I did like him pointing this out, though. That was funny. And I hope it's intentional, because that's so much funnier.
That would be funny. Yeah. So anyway, we've got footage of him. It's like, they're like little projections of himself in clown makeup. And he begins to smile. And then we see he's in the makeup. He's got a red nose. He's got little eyebrows. He's got some arrow eye makeup thing going on. It's somewhat unusual for Joker. Yeah,
it's not traditional.
His outfit looks very classic Joker, though.
It looks more like his outfit looks classic Joker, but his face looks like he glanced at a clown, couldn't quite remember it, and tried anyway.
Mm-hmm. His hair looks like Ledger.
And I actually don't mean that as a bad thing, by the way.
Oh, no, yeah. They have the Guess Who's laughing playing over the clip.
Yeah.
And this is Todd Phillips. He officially released it. They're calling it test footage. And he says, here's the issue. We have paparazzi all over our set at every turn, and it bums me out that they constantly put out their bad shots, so I figure may as well put out some good ones. And he has continued with that. He's put out photos of Zazie Beetz. He's put out a picture of Joaquin fully in clown costume, with like the bald cap and the big shoes and like the checkered jacket.
Right.
And we keep seeing all the set pictures, and I've seen footage of certain things and them like hurrying up and putting boards over things and not let trying to get the paparazzi out. It is a bummer. So I'm not going to go into all of that stuff. We're not going to talk about all those things.
I will give it this, though. You know, our continuing almost anthem at this point, give them a minute.
Uh-huh.
This is proving my point. Like, you look at the leaked photo, blah, 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 and it looks weird and strange. And you look at the thing Todd Phillips keeps releasing, and you think, okay, that looks fantastic. What are we doing here? Why were we worried?
I mean, you know, here's the thing. We've got enough to know that he is in this clown costume that kind of fits in with the struggling comedian thing. So all the people, the folderol online over, well, that doesn't look like the Joker's face. Well, give him a minute. Maybe he's in transition.
And if there's any character where you can be like, dude, come on, there's no Joker's face. It's the Joker. He is known for having no identity and a multiple identities. You can't get mad about him. Of all people, don't get mad about him. Just let it be.
Yeah, I mean,
enjoy it or don't, but just go.
This is a different take. I'm not crazy about the clown makeup. I'm really not. But everything I'm seeing from the set footage, he looks like he's got some good, really good Joker movements down. Closer to Nicholson and Hamill than anything I've ever seen on screen.
Yeah.
Since those times.
Got a whimsy it's kind of frightening.
Absolutely. There's an absolute whimsy to it. That's a good word. I didn't know what word to use, and that was good.
That was the one you wanted.
Yep. So I'm just going to give him a minute. I'll see the thing. Absolutely. My favorite kind of film anyway are like little indie films, and if they're doing, I mean, that's one of the reasons I love BVS so much. It's a $400 million indie film. I'll absolutely see Todd Phillips and Martin Scorsese make a little indie film with Joaquin Phoenix about the Joker. I don't know what they're doing. I'm not crazy about the makeup, but you know what, I'm not in charge. And Poison Ivy's right, they hate everything, screw them.
Yeah, I mean, I hope a lot of the creators at this point take a view similar to that. Is like, I don't know, man. I'm just going to do what I want to do because I'm not going to please everyone. It's just not possible. More importantly, yeah. I hope the WB execs start letting these people take that view on, because I know as creators, they have that thick a skin. They have to have made it that far. And there's always going to be something about your favorite character you don't like. Like, I constantly see, like, I love Superman to death, and I constantly see him with that weird mullety thing and the, like, 90s, and I think, oh, God, I don't love it, but the story's still good, and I still read it. It's fine.
Yeah, I mean,
you're not going to love everything all the time. Just enjoy what you
Scott
can.
Scott Snyder, at this point, beloved writer from DC Comics.
Yes.
Worked on Batman Forever. Worked on Metal. He's doing Justice League now.
Killing Justice League right now.
In relation to the Joaquin makeup, he says, I feel like it shouldn't work, and yet I'm genuinely crazy excited for it. It seems daring, weird, and dark in a way that could be visionary. In the end, the worst offense with Joker would be playing it safe, boring, so I'm all in for something like this. Yeah, probably. That sounds right.
That's a good take, yeah.
So, I don't know. Sorry, guys, if you were coming in hoping that we just, you know, pissed all over it. Nah.
Coming in hot. No, but I don't know.
Like I said,
mildly warm.
Not crazy about his face.
At best.
Not crazy about his face. I'm good. I'll see it.
I don't think I have much feeling about the face. I really don't. Give, take. I'm pretty neutral about it.
I'm a little afraid to say it might be a transition, though, because, you know, that's what we said about Leto, and that wasn't what happened. So,
Leto, I'm still not completely crazy about the face, but I love what he did. And looking back, I wasn't crazy about Ledger's face, but damn.
Yeah.
Just damn.
Yeah. I can't remember who I was listening to. It may have been Suicide Squad cast or Fans Without Borders or somebody. I don't know. We're talking about, like, everybody was pissed off that Ledger was like, oh, you didn't do the acid bath. And then we did the acid bath, and we're like, oh, I hate it. It's not like Ledger. Shut
up. I think it was Tim. I think it was Flightcast. I'm not sure, but I think it was Flightcast.
Yeah. I think it was Ray.
Ray?
Yeah, Flightcast, yeah.
I forget who, but it was that corner.
That corner.
That little corner.
Oh. So, yeah, someone took a picture of a map, a subway tunnel map of Gotham. And there's a lot of little fun things in here. Kane County, Burnside. We got McKean Island, Burnley, Otisburg. They put in Otisburg from the old Donner movie. Otisburg. It's a little place, Mr. Luthor.
Nice.
We've got Amusement Mile, you know, Gotham Village. These are all good things. There's a little place called Snyder.
Sure.
It might be Scott, might be Zach.
I would just leave it ambiguous.
Yeah. There was some writer I saw that reported on it, but said it's surely after Scott Snyder, because the other guy was just someone who made a movie about two orphans fighting, and I promptly blocked that individual and will never read another article from them. Like, even the biggest naysayers recognize that it's about more than that. Even if you thought it was boring or poorly executed, yeah. Piss off, you troll.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. I support you.
Yep. Thank you. Feels good to be supported. It's like a bra for the soul.
Mm.
So there are some pictures of campaign posters for Thomas Wayne. I'll say this. Those early reports of a Trump type of caricature for Thomas Wayne seem like they're true. There's a lot of set pictures and stuff of people campaigning against or protesting his campaign. And they are doing everything it is set in the 80s. They're doing everything to make him look like an 80s yuppie.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, there's...
He's got like an ascot or something, you know, like whatever that's called.
Like, there's...
He's like a kingpin.
There's plenty of 80s yuppie to draw from. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
That was a well-worn trope by the end of, I don't know, the mid-90s.
Oh, it is. It absolutely is. And what's funny is I think Wonder Woman 84 is doing the same thing. They've basically made, like, Maxwell Lord an oil baron. They've basically made him JR from Dallas.
Yeah.
Anyway, this
like the word tycoon when it was at its peak, I think.
Right. And they've got on this poster, they've got Wayne spelled backwards, or not backwards, just well, a little backwards. This Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, some people have suggested that might be purposeful, like part of Joker's unreliable narration.
Hmm.
I've also heard that, you know, an intern probably just screwed up. Okay, I didn't hear that one. I just think that's probably what happened.
I don't know. That's not a bad.
I mean, if nothing else, you could explain it away, right?
You know, when you look at the thing, if you had actually had it, if you had it framed correctly, and you moved mm-hmm. the Y in the end, the Y would be going into his head.
Mm.
It would literally be going into his hair. So I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it is.
So you think it was a design decision?
It may have been a design decision. It's framing his head in a way that you couldn't have done otherwise. If it was actually spelled mm-hmm. Wayne, you might know it wouldn't have worked. It wouldn't have fit.
Yeah. Well, Diane Nelson popped over onto Twitter and said about the Joaquin Phoenix stuff. Love it. Great story, great actor, specific and strong vision from a talented director. What DC should have been doing since Nolan, even if diehard fans struggle with his vision. Hashtag good movies are good movies. And everyone attacked her.
Yeah.
And Snyder Naturally. Fans called her referred to her and her fellow producers as snakes in the grass. And she came out and said, I happen to count Zack Snyder among those things, as in good movies are good movies. If you are insinuating otherwise, no snake here. And the downpour of hatred continued until she left Twitter again. So, good job, fandom. We are well on our way to the Dark Ages, what I refer to as the Dark Ages, when creators didn't talk to fans.
Yeah.
And we had no control over anything. No power of suggestion, no civil discourse with our favorite writers, or at least favorite writers and directors.
Yeah.
It's all coming back. I can see it clearly.
Yeah. I feel like we're definitely going to at some point hit a moment where there's somebody X amount of years in the future that says, like, no, we can't make a superhero film. That we can't put that in the big yeah. screen. It's toxic. It's terrible. We're not doing that.
Right. The next time I'm at a little coffee shop and I see some angry troll over in the corner on Twitter just sneering into his screen, I'm going to walk over and say, thank you for your service.
Yeah.
So anyway, Trailer Track is reporting that the Alberta Film Ratings has rated a new Shazam trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And they think it's probably going to play on Venom. Maybe. Venom's gotten really poor ratings, so it might not. I don't know how those deals work out.
There's not... I don't know.
Do you think they'd pull a trailer because a movie seems to be sucking?
No. Not if it's expected to get a lot in the first weekend, but it's still...
Okay.
I haven't seen a lot of crossover, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember too many times sitting down to watch either one of these films and seeing another universe's films on it.
I mean, I have. Comic book movies are comic book movies, despite what the internet wants you to think.
Weirdly enough, though, you sit down and you watch like an MCU film and you see like World of Warcraft or some crap. Like they for some reason, they think that because you watch superhero films, you're into fantasy. It's not necessarily the truth. Sometimes right. It is. Not necessarily. So it's like whatever sci-fi or fantasy that is available at the time, like they'll throw that at you. But I don't remember it. I just don't remember it myself. I may be remembering that wrong, but I don't remember it.
Yeah, I don't know. I have seen less rhyme and reason than most people seem to believe there is.
I remember chaos. It is old.
I'm like looking at a Sandra Bullock chick flick. Then there's like Gravity's there, and there's her again, and I'm like, why are we seeing so much of her? And then all of a sudden, it's like a horror film thing with a kid who looks like Eric Stoltz from The Mask.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Invariably something that feels like a Tyler Perry movie.
Invariably always something that feels like a Tyler Perry movie.
Just thrown in there in the middle. Usually like, isn't. What are we doing? Why? No. Okay. Fine. And I'll give it this, though. You get to the weird part of the trailers where you're like, why would I never... No part of me would ever watch this movie, and there's someone down there you can hear him whisper, going like, "That's gonna be great." All right,
yeah.
All right, you know your audience. Sorry, I wasn't in that focus group, and I wasn't right. privy to that data. And you're clearly the people that are. So okay, you win. You right. win, big studio. Versus me, just having like armchair reasoning.
Yeah, and then there's like a CGI movie trailer about a squirrel played by the dude who played Gus Fring on Breaking Bad. And you're like, what are you doing here, Esposito?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, eventually there's going to be the Dr. Dolittle Robert Downey Jr. movie, right? It's a thing that's mm-hmm. happening. Apparently got pushed off. It's a thing that's about to happen in some form. And I do wonder, because we don't know where the MCU is going to be at the time, whether they're going to throw uh-huh. his movie in before that. Because I do feel like there's a hesitation sometimes to put someone's movie, if they're a marquee character, in front of it. You know what I mean, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But you wonder if you're going to be watching, like... I don't know what's going to be out in DC at the time. I don't know where they are going to be. But I wonder if you're going to be watching a DC movie and you're going to pop over and see like Robert Downey Jr. and Robert and Dr. Dolittle and think, well, that seems out of place, but I kind of get where they were coming from.
Yeah.
Very possible.
Somewhat possible, at least.
I'm going to laugh in like 3 years if I see that. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Idic, man. Infinite diversity, infinite combinations. Yeah. All right, so I just said a minute ago, I already kind of spoiled this on the show, Super Bro Movies is confirming their own early report.
Mm.
So this is a special kind of special.
Mm.
Which said that Pedro Pascal was playing Maxwell Lord. They're expanding upon that, saying we hear this version of Maxwell is more hammy than people would expect, and it will be evident they have gone with a more liberal take on the character. One thing that will differentiate him from his comic book counterpart is the fact that he won't have the psychic powers that he sometimes wields in the comics.
Wow.
I would absolutely expect Patty Jenkins and company to make another hammy villain, because their template, and I'm not trying to shit on them or whatever, put them down. Their template is the Dick Donner Superman films.
Yeah.
That's what they did in the first Wonder Woman. Guess what? That was a success. So they're going to follow through with that and make another hammy. It's like going to be like Gene Hackman doing JR. That's what it's going to be. Like, I have 17 oil rigs. You know, it's just going to be bad. Most people will enjoy it.
I still disagree. But okay. I understand where your take's coming from. I just disagree on how much it should be or will be enjoyed.
Right. I'm saying for me, like, I'm not going to enjoy that as much.
I get it.
Literally the last time I enjoyed that was Gene Hackman doing it, and I thought, oh, that's cool. I never want to see that again.
And then you locked it away into a corner of your brain you hope never to visit except sentimentally. And then someone, like, pillaged that grave and started throwing the chunks of the corpse at you, and here you are.
Yeah. And that person was Bryan Singer, and I thought we had learned our lesson, but here we are.
No, here we are.
I do get where you're coming from. I see it. I understand it. I don't have the same connotation. So I see that and I think, well, this is fun. And
I see, I liked everything about Wonder Woman, but the villains.
I do get that though.
I do get when you've said
several times mustache twirling. I get it.
Yeah, that's exactly it what is they are. Tammy's another good word for it.
The weak point of the I don't know. I like mustache twirling. I prefer the imagery.
Well, yeah, of course. And this guy's got a mustache, so.
Yeah. He definitely has a stash. Yeah. Now I get it. I do. It's one of those things where, like, you're not going to love everything. It's one of those things where, like, I still really enjoyed the crap out of the film, and I still get your point, and it's not its best self, I guess. But, yeah, I get it.
Yeah, we'll see.
Could do better there.
I don't know.
Doesn't look like it's maybe going to do better on that angle for you going forward. I worry for you.
No, it doesn't. Yeah, well.
I don't know. I could have some other action, though, where I see the sequel and think, we're doing this again. Okay. All right, I think I'm taxed. I don't know. It may happen.
See, I'm worried for you for Wonder Woman 1984 because it's set in 1984. You are already predisposed to hate this film.
Yes, I know. It does worry me.
Yeah.
Like I saw a fanny pack on set and thought this doesn't bode well.
That's right.
But
yeah, I saw track suits, fanny packs, and mustaches.
Yeah.
And curly mullets.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
an aesthetic that I don't care for. I've never been able to do anything to stop it. It is what it is.
But Hans Zimmer's coming back to score it, so
yeah, the Celine Dion of soundtracks.
The Celine Dion of soundtracks. I'm not even sure. That doesn't sound positive.
Just
I thought you liked Hans Zimmer.
We're just gonna retire from this, and then we're not.
Oh, I got you. Sorry, I don't follow Celine Dion's career. I could have gone like with you do, apparently.
Maybe George Strait or somebody. I don't know. There's a few musical people that are. Uh-huh. Like, I'm done now.
George Strait. I would have gone with the Rolling Stones.
I don't actually know. That's a whole conversation.
Every other year they come out, they do a final tour.
Maybe.
They're up there with walkers and fake hips.
That's why I'm going to see Paul McCartney. We're making a go of it. We're making a trip. It's a whole thing.
Well, why wouldn't you?
We're going to go see Paul McCartney because he's never said that. I don't think I've ever seen him say, like, I'm doing a final tour. But I've seen him push this last album so much. So I'm like, I think that bloke is doing a final tour.
Mm.
I'm going to go get in. I gotta see that Beatle.
Mm-hmm.
Say,
I feel you. I wish I'd gone for the final tour with Tom. I would have. The last time that he was here, I was like, he'll be around. He's only in his 60s.
I did that with B.B. King. I still regret that, too.
Yeah. Anyway, though, Hans said, you know, it was odd to say yes because my friend Rupert Gregson-Williams, who scored the first Wonder Woman, he said, I had worked really hard at getting him the job on the first one, but remember the motif, the Wonder Woman theme, is mine, actually. I wrote the damn thing. We had done it live, and it became more and more interesting. I just thought it was important to sort of finish it. And Patty phoned me, and she had a really interesting idea as well. Again, the story she is going to tell, or she is probably right now on a film set telling, is a story you want to be a part of. So I'm excited to hear what Hans has to do with Wonder Woman now. I love that theme, that little motif he wrote.
Oh, absolutely. I'm by no means annoyed that he's coming back. I'm excited about it.
No.
I get a little annoyed by the whole I'm retired thing, and then you come back when it's... just seems a little dramatic to me. That's all.
He said that, you know, he in that interview, he also talked about, I didn't put it down, so I'm trying to remember this, but he said he felt like he didn't have anything else to say, and he did say he was retiring for a while, you know. He said he didn't have anything else to say in the genre, and then when he was working with Ron Howard, I think on whatever it was, I don't know, probably some Star Wars crap, I don't know. He was working with Ron Howard, though.
That's right.
And, he said Ron Howard spoke to him and said, you know, do yourself a favor and don't ever say no because you never know what you actually still have. And he was like, that's why he went back to do Dark Phoenix. And now he's doing Wonder Woman 1984 because he was just like, you know what? He's right.
Yeah. That's fair. If he qualified it in some way that I've forgotten, fuck me.
Yeah.
False argument.
Well, there are a lot of people. I've been guilty of it myself, and maybe it's true. Maybe this is all horseshit. But I know myself, and I think Scott over on Squadcast. I think we've I want to say somebody from some other show, but We all kind of thought that maybe he just saw the handwriting on the wall, you know, over about Justice League and was just like, you know what? I'm retired from superheroes. I'm going to move on and do a superhero movie.
The narrative lent itself to that interpretation.
The narrative lent itself to that. I sincerely hope that's not the case. I hope, you know, he just kind of went, you know what? I don't think I have anything else. And then did a couple other things. Went, you know what? Maybe I have something. Ron Howard said maybe I should. And when Ron Howard speaks, you should probably listen because Ron Howard's pretty... I mean, even Hans called him wise. You know, he's like an old sage, like an oracle.
He actually is like some physical embodiment of the wisdom of Hollywood.
I like to imagine him like that you hang out with Ron Howard, and like he's got a man-made reproduction of the lake from Andy Griffith's show in his office. Mm-hmm. And then he just kind of hangs out and faux fishes.
Nice.
And yeah. Dispenses wisdom to his underlings.
I'm imagining that as more like a virtual reality screen on one side of his office that no one else is allowed to ever play with or touch. But it's always there and always active, and like different random birds fly through, and the lake ripples every now and then, and he just has this little virtual reality wand and he throws out and talks while he's at meetings.
Yeah.
What I'm sure about,
like,
is
Ron in and Grazer's like that. He's at that bastard pond again.
Yeah. Every now and then when no one's looking at night, like 2:30 in the morning, Otis runs across the side of the pond, falls in and gets out and stumbles away.
Oh, I'm sorry. I broke your heart, Mutter.
What I am quite sure about with him,
he's
been in this since, what, how young was he?
4 or 6 or something.
Let's go with 6, conservatively. Let's go with 7 or 8. Who cares? Hey, he's been in this industry that long, and it didn't break him. It made him stronger. Dude, listen to whatever he's got to say.
Yeah.
It breaks.
You know what? I honestly think... I think he's spoken to that before, and he pretty much attributes most of it to, like, his parents being pretty awesome.
Grounded, I assume.
And, yeah. And, working on specifically the Andy Griffith show as being like another just like grounded, amazing set of people who were just like, nah, man, you got to put in the work. There's personal responsibility. You can't just be some, you know, crazy child star. And then to like pick up almost directly after and be in a couple of really great movies, and then boom, Happy Days, another set of like pretty grounded people. Like, That's some solid upbringing. Like, by the time he was off of that, I mean, he left that show because he was, you know, a grown ass man.
Yeah.
So.
And wanted to do some stuff, and then actually, and it should have ended with that. Did that stuff. Yeah. Long story short on him, it's impressive, and even in the right environment, he's still got to be able to take it in, and he did. Listen to him is my point.
Yeah.
Welcome back, Hans.
Yeah. Welcome back.
That's where I was trying to get to.
Right. Just lead into like the Welcome Back Cotter theme, but change it to Welcome Back Zimmer.
You can't do it. It's too melodic. You'd have to do like some minimalist interpretation of it. Welcome.
Which ironically just sounds like the Man of Steel theme.
Mr.
Doom Doom.
Cotter.
Anyway.
It's going to be sad.
Okay, a lot of news about Birds of Prey here this last couple weeks. Birds of Prey, first of all, looks like it's going to be February 7th, 2020 is when it's planning on being released. That seems to be the take from the rumors here. The rumor mill also says that it's going to be called Fox Force 5 as the working title. Do you know Fox Force 5? Do you remember that? That was at all?
Oh, it rings a bell. I don't know.
It's from Pulp Fiction. It was the name of the pilot that Uma Thurman's character was in. It was a bunch of women solving crimes and stuff.
Gotcha.
We've got a bunch of casting news for Birds of Prey. First off, Mary Elizabeth Winstead has been cast as Huntress. I am super excited about this. She was Ramona Flowers in Edgar Wright's Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
She
was also amazing in 10 Cloverfield Lane. She was in Fargo. She was in Braindead. But 10 Cloverfield Lane and, importantly, Scott Pilgrim versus the World. Me and the wife just watched Scott Pilgrim versus the World, and she had never seen it before. I was like, I'm putting this on.
It's great.
It's fantastic.
It's
She
great.
says She says she's going into training. She's learning how to shoot a bow and arrow. She says she's not a huge comic book reader, but she met Kathy Yan, who's directing the film, and she learned the backstory of the character. And she says it's a really strong kind of emotional place to start from for a superhero character, which, the character of Huntress, her family was, her dad was a mafia boss, and her family was murdered, and she turns to a life of vigilantism. So
naturally.
I'm super excited about freaking Ramona Flowers.
Yeah.
Mary Elizabeth Winstead being cast as Huntress.
Yeah.
The next one, I don't know this girl, like, and we had fair warning, internet, that they were looking to do a person of color for Black Canary. I don't care. I don't mind. Whatever. but apparently the internet's very upset about this.
Oh, no. What
yeah,
will the fragile internet have to say now?
I did see Flightcast over there saying, like, somebody had said they didn't know her from anything, and I didn't know anything. Journey Smollett-Bell has been cast as Black Canary, and some guy was like, I don't care what race she is, I just don't know her from anything. Like, she hasn't been anything. How could she be Black Canary? And Flightcast was like, anyone who's...
argument. Come on.
And he was like, anyone who's seen Full House knows full well who she is. I'm like, I've seen every episode of Full House several times over. I had no idea who she was. I'm like, who the hell was she in Full House? And my wife, of course, was like, oh, she was Michelle's friend Denise. Okay.
Just without missing a beat. How do you not know? Dave, who did I marry?
But I was, oddly enough, like, that's the only thing I know her from. I didn't watch True Blood when she was on it. I didn't watch Friday Night Lights. I haven't seen Underground. So, my wife saying, oh, she was, Denise on Full House. I went, oh, I'm down then. She was sassy. She could work. I mean, she was like 10, but yeah, she'll work.
Yeah, I can rage that up in my head. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Oh, man. I don't get why everyone's so upset about it. I really don't. Like, in 1989, Billy Dee Williams played Harvey Dent. No, I don't. So what? We've been doing this since 89 at least.
Yeah, it's a really annoying little portion of fandom that worries about this kind of crap. My favorite was someone saying, like, please explain to me in the history of Black Canary, who's been played by, even in the books, several variations. Explain to me one story where it was absolutely integral that she was white. Fair question.
Yeah.
Explain to me one time that her being white was completely necessary for the story.
And honestly, I always thought she was of some ethnicity that wasn't necessarily totally white. But that's mainly because she had really like black hair
maybe,
underneath the wig.
Maybe. My main thing is, like, even as you put it, I can't. It's never occurred to me. Which means, who the hell cares?
Yeah. Right. I think she'll.
It's a
fine.
Part of the internet I want to put in a tiny little bottle and ship it to somewhere I don't like. Just.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. I don't know who's interested in that and who cares that much, but I don't.
I mean, it's just been such a big thing. Like, it's all I'm seeing in my timeline is crazy.
Yeah.
I'm just like, guys, who cares? They're ruining it. No, what are they ruining? They're not ruining anything.
Precisely.
Shut up.
What are they ruining?
Like, where was this outcry about Will Smith and Deadshot?
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know. I really don't.
I'm sure there was. I just... So frustrating.
I don't know.
It's just so frustrating. Anyway,
I've had, by the way, a lot of tinkly sounds in the background of my audio. I apologize. My dog's been moving a lot, so I just took off her collar. We're gonna.
Oh, it's okay.
She's story
she
now.
She should never take
crypto.
Off her collar. She's got a little Superman.
I know.
She's got a little Superman
decrypted.
Collar.
She's human dog again.
So Deadline is reporting that over on Birds of Prey that they are going to be in a Gotham that isn't protected by Batman.
I don't know what that means, but okay.
I don't either. Like, that was a rumor, and then somebody on Twitter was saying that, and that they heard it was that person. I didn't write their name down or anything, but we've talked about them before. That makes has all these little secret scoops.
No, oh, sure.
Batman hadn't been seen in 2 years or something. Whatever.
I just
give me a line. Just say that he's like abroad or something.
Are they doing No Man's Land or?
I don't know. Also, Birds of Prey, just about an hour ago, hour or two ago, cast Rosie Perez as Renee Montoya. Announced that.
Saw that.
And Rosie Perez has been in a ton of things.
Yeah.
Do the Right Thing, White Men Can't Jump, Road to El Dorado. Like, she's been in a ton of shit.
That was the thing, was I read that name and went, no way. And then I read White Men Can't Jump and went, oh, God. Yeah, okay. All right. Yeah. They are talking about her. Gotcha. It's just a name that hasn't been on my radar for a very long time.
It hasn't been on my radar either. And to be honest, when it was, I didn't really care for her. I've never really liked her in anything I've ever seen her in. So I'm a little sad about that. I don't have any negative
memory of it. I just did not recall who the hell we were talking about when it came up.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't have a reason other than she's just got the... It's the Michael Chiklis thing. It's just, something chemically about her bothers me. Yeah. And I don't know why. It's not fair. And it's not right.
But much like myself, you may have that moment where later we're like, I don't know. I beat my chemicals.
Right. So I'm always on board. Hope.
I'm on board.
I always hope.
I did. I did unnecessarily hate Michael Chiklis.
I want that on a soundbite somewhere.
I've had to eat that hate with the side of crow because he worked for me. So
yeah. So, Renee Montoya, Gotham City detective, a few years ago, Two-Face outed her as a lesbian. That was a big deal in the comics. She became the Question.
That's my favorite term.
Yeah. Yeah. She sort of had like a mentor protege relationship with the Question and then eventually became the Question. Yeah. When he, died of cancer. So,
that was something in Gotham when I saw her name dropped. I thought, oh, please, please. And just never came to be.
Mm-hmm. So I'm interested to see what they do with her.
Mm-hmm.
Just didn't think it'd be Rosie Perez of all people.
Yeah.
I thought our days with her was over. I haven't heard about her in a very long time.
It did. I had to look it up. I wasn't sure. I thought, but I wasn't sure.
To make sure?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So first we had Kevin Tsujihara and Toby Emmerich going over to Ben Affleck's house. Visiting him, and everyone was just like, oh, well, he's going to be Batman. And then, you know, more calm among us kind of went, ah, they're just checking up on a commodity.
Yeah, there's money invested in him.
All right. He is a director, one of their directors at Warner Brothers. It doesn't necessarily mean Batman. They're going in, checking up on him.
Yeah.
We still don't know anything. Now we have Ben Affleck. He's been spotted leaving Warner Brothers. He's had a meeting. He's got a stack of papers. People think it's a script. Not necessarily Batman, and still not necessarily Batman, but I will say he is looking jacked AF.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, I think everybody knows stands for Apple Farm.
Yeah, as in jacked from working in Apple Farm. We all know this.
Right, you get really super jacked working in Apple Farm. Why do you bother with these
exposition dumps sometimes, Dave? I don't understand. I just don't get it.
I want people to know, you know, we have some older people in our audience.
This is not the learning channel. We don't.
Right.
God.
It should be, Jason. It should be.
As long as I keep that straight.
So, yeah. I'm hoping Batman. I'm sincerely hoping Batman. I will always hope for Ben Affleck to play Batman as long as he is physically able to put on the suit. I liked his Batman.
Yeah. And it's literally a thing where like you see one tangible image and you know a couple people were in the building and all you think is, well, this could still be anything.
Yeah, yeah. So we've got Matt Reeves talking about the Jekyll Hyde and Bruce and the Bat. Like he was talking about how he looked to Jekyll and Hyde, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde as inspiration. He was talking to IndieWire and they were asking about how like the film mirrors the duality seen in there. And he was saying, he says, it's interesting because one of the things that I've found is just working on the story is looking back at Jekyll and Hyde and the idea of your shadow self and the idea of we are all multiple things is different aspects of who we are. And I think there are times when maybe the surface of Bruce is not really who he is, but that's his disguise. There are times when Batman's the disguise, but there are times when his true essence comes out because by being veiled, a kind of instinctual side comes out that's very pure. It's not an easy question to answer in that I think that we are all made up of so many different aspects of ourselves that make the whole. I don't know if you could ever reduce anyone to one part of what they express. That's what's fun about his character, is that there's a very bright light that shines on the shadow side. The idea of all of that is incredibly exciting. It's part of what makes him fun for me to work on. I'm down with that. Like, that sounds great.
Yeah.
That sounds like he gets the duality of Batman.
He's got some of the nuance. I like that.
I am desperate for it to just be so good.
Yeah. Yeah. And
like, undeniably,
even him describing it as that duality, I want to send him, you know, 5 or 6 different BTAS episodes. please watch these real quick. Make sure they're in your rotation before you finish.
But having heard all that, it sounds like I'm going to be like, oh man, that's awesome. The bloggers are going to hate it. They're deconstructing Batman again.
I know.
So, grain of salt taken, but Umberto Gonzalez over here says the studio loves Matt Reeves' first draft of his Batman script. He is currently doing revisions, and the film is being eyed for a hopeful summer 2019 production. Of note, the current DC regime is committed to getting this take on the Caped Crusader correct. I hope all of that's true. Mm-hmm. But again, it is Umberto, so who the hell knows?
We'll see.
Gareth Evans talked a little bit about Deathstroke. Basically, they talked about it a little bit, and he talked a lot about it. But what it boils down to is they had a phone call, they had a conversation, he hasn't heard anything. So whenever he reads articles saying whatever about the production of Deathstroke, he's like, I wonder how they got that information. I haven't heard anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know.
That can be realistic sometimes, go ahead and, though.
Yeah.
Oh, so that thing I said before is, okay, sure.
I mean, Glenn Ficarra
on the paper. I'm doing it, I guess.
Yeah, Glenn Ficarra and John Requa. I guess that's how you say those names. They wrote Bad Santa, and they have worked on the NBC show This Is Us. They have turned in their script for their Harley and Joker spinoff film. That would be purportedly Margot Robbie and Jared Leto. And they're saying the whole thing starts with Harley kidnapping Dr. Phil, played by Dr. Phil, hopefully. Because her and the Joker are having problems with their relationship. We had so much fun. I don't know if we have any more. We've ever had any more fun writing a script in our career. They also said that tonally, it's going to be like Bad Santa and This Is Us together.
Are we just going to cry for 90 minutes? What are we doing?
Well, you're forgetting the Bad Santa segment of that.
Yeah, but that was still a very heartful film.
Yeah.
And then
he says we kind of meshed them together.
I'm still measuring it with like This Is Us, which is just tears. Tears upon tears.
He says we were doing a relationship movie, but with the sensibility of a Bad Santa, effed up, mentally deranged people.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That sounds great. I would very much like to see that. That said, if you're going to do Harley and Joker's relationship and you're going to try to make it accurate, just remember, test audiences didn't like it on Suicide Squad when, you know, Joker and Harley were obviously abusive to each other. And as we all know, Harley and Joker now, at least on Tumblr and in Hot Topic, are, quote, relationship goals. So.
Even in the comics, we're not doing that anymore. It's just not a thing. Also, I have a quick hope that at some point, Harleen, who is a trained doctor, calls out Dr. Phil for being a fraud.
Mm-hmm.
I have a prop bet in the background.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Dudes. Yeah. That's a whole thing. We're going to do it later.
So Will Smith was on his YouTube channel. He asked about the possibility of doing a Deadshot movie. He says, I hope so. I love playing Deadshot. I really enjoyed that character. They've been talking about it, so if a good idea comes around, we've been having meetings. But I would love to. I love Deadshot. Like, how do you not just say yes to whatever Will Smith says?
Probably.
He is one of the biggest movie stars in the world. Why would you not just say, like, why are you not actively in development on Deadshot?
Because every now and then he says yes to some stuff that doesn't work.
Sure. Everybody does, though.
There's some fallibility that apparently producers look at, mm-hmm. and I feel never judged correctly. But they do look at it. I get that.
Yeah, yeah. Off of the, you know, standout hit, Mission Impossible Fallout, Christopher McQuarrie, the writer-director, says he is there. He's waiting to direct a Superman movie. People ask him on Twitter if he'd do a Superman movie. He says, they know where to find me. If they ever call me, I'll call you. I'll let you know. Again, You got Cavill, you got McQuarrie, they just came off of Mission Impossible Fallout. How are you not calling them immediately and saying, hey guys, I heard you wanted to make a Superman movie?
And I'm mad at Fallout, man. I don't want to see it. That's the cause of that mustache issue. But
would you be mad at it if it winds up being the catalyst for the greatest Superman movie you might ever see?
That's where the difference is. It's not his fault that the mustache thing happened. That was an executive issue as far as I can tell.
Yeah, that was an executive issue. That wasn't McQuarrie.
Not his problem. He was trying to figure out a way to make the whole thing work and everyone get what they wanted. I got no problem with
that. While the executives were saying no about the mustache issue, McQuarrie and Cavill were sitting over in a corner giggling over their Superman script. That's what was happening.
Yeah. But he was actively working to try to make the mustache happen the way it should have. Uh-huh. And he was still fighting for his film because there's things you can't do with a detachable mustache. I get it. I get his side. I'm going to watch that movie when it's a DC property. I cannot bring myself to watch Fallout. I'm just mad at it.
Yeah, I get it. But, you know.
But if he does a Superman film, I'm on board.
The mustache would not have saved Justice League. I enjoyed Justice League. To me, the mustache didn't kill it. But I get it. I get why it looks bad. I know it looks bad. I feel like it looks bad. I know why people didn't like the Justice League movie. I get why I liked it, though. So, you know.
Here's the big problem, though, is like, I think when you quantify everything, it doesn't make that big a difference to the movie, the cut we saw. But the problem was it happened so early in the movie that it felt like a new boss that you didn't know what to do with, that came out of nowhere, like some dude from Nebraska, and you work in Virginia, and I've never met this guy, and blah, 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 and he walks in, and the first time you ever meet him, he's got his fly unzipped.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that reminds me of. That kind of like, I'm not sure about the foundation kind of feeling.
I think I've met that guy. Was his dick pierced?
I'm going to go with probably. Actually, I'm going to go with not probably, because the guy I'm talking about would just not have any kind of weird exhibitionist thing in the background. But
right.
You see my point. It was.
I'm afraid I did see the point. That
it was a bad... We don't talk about that anymore, Dave. On the Justice League, though, it was a bad foot forward, and I think it would have mattered. I really think it would have mattered. I think the film, for a lot of people, would have been interpreted differently if it looked better when they first saw that first scene.
Yeah. Yeah, the mustache is to Justice League as Martha is to BVS in a lot of ways.
Unfortunately. And it's the one thing everyone talks about. Yeah, I know. And like the Martha scene to me is entirely justifiable, and I get why it doesn't feel like it's executed well, and I also get why it feels like it's supposed to be executed well. There's a huge difference, though, between the cuts and all that. Correct. There's a lot of background to it. I'm angry that we even have to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Same time with the mustache. Like, we don't have to talk about it. We all know that looks bad.
Yeah, absolutely.
We all knew. I mean, as soon as we looked at it, it was, oh, God, what's going on? And then that's how you walked into the film was, oh, what are we doing, man? What's that? What's going on with that?
Yeah.
And I liked the plot points of the film. I liked. I do get why that put everyone on their back foot. I get it.
Yeah. All right. Well, David Ayer has been opening up, much as Zack Snyder has been. Mm. And some people were kind of pointing out some plot holes and stuff, and he was like, it's fun to play gotcha, but remember, released film was very different from my original assembly, which is not how he put it when the film had just released, which we know. They're under certain directives, and NDAs are in place and everything. But
yeah, he has a role to play, too.
Now it looks like he is he is contradicting himself from earlier. He was like, my film is the one that got released. Now he's saying, my film is the original assembly. So the reason, you know, Joker, someone pointed out that Joker, he had said that Joker's metal teeth were because Batman knocked his teeth in after he killed Robin.
Mm-hmm.
And Ayer was like, but they were pointing out like, oh, but in the flashbacks, it said that, he was with Harley, he had the metal teeth, but then Harley also, it was stated in her little bio thing that she helped kill Robin. So I guess that happened earlier. And he pointed out that, like, Harley's story was vastly simplified. It's a different cut than what was in the original assembly. He did say that the damage tattoo was all his fault, and it was one step too far.
I saw the too far headline, and I felt, well, I agree with you.
Yeah, I agree.
I didn't mind the teeth. I sure as hell didn't mind the tattoos. That was fine. Even the, really, for lack of a better word, pimp wardrobe choice, fine. Mm-hmm. The damage tattoo I always thought was too far.
Yeah. So, if you're interested in that kind of thing, absolutely go follow David Ayer on Twitter and check that little notification box so you can see what else he's got to say. If it's interesting enough, we'll probably talk about it here. Or you can just, like, listen to us every week. That would be awesome.
That works,
too. You know what? Do that part. Do that one.
Forget Ayer even exists.
Until we tell you that he exactly. is.
Until we mention.
Yeah. So someone... posted a picture of a stylized Superman holding a dead Batman over on Vero and said, what we may have seen in the five-story arc. Talking about Zack Snyder's five-story arc before he left. And Snyder responded, of course. So apparently part of the five-story arc was he was going to kill Batman. I wouldn't be surprised if the last movie of that arc was Batman shooting that bullet at Darkseid and taking me down, and then Darkseid
the big
killing
thing,
him with,
like,
the Omega beams.
He might have been going for more of a Final Crisis thing than,
yeah,
which actually tracks. I mean,
mm-hmm.
he had a lot of New Gods plans and all that other kind of. It's frightening what we'll never see.
Yeah, ironically, Zack Snyder is apparently quite a lot like Joss Whedon. He likes killing people we love.
Yeah,
Nightwing, Jimmy Olsen, Batman, Superman. Right.
It's a rough time.
It's a rough time, man.
That's actually one of the... If there's a major reason at all, and I mostly want to see the Snyder Cut, I'm not wearing a t-shirt at Comic-Con kind of thing, but
mm-hmm.
I get it if you are, but mm-hmm. that I'm not investing myself emotionally into this whole thing until it happens. But I do want to see it. If it's out there and it can actually be shown to me at some point, sure, I'd love to see it.
Sure.
And... I also don't want to see it, because if I did see it, I would get so pissed about some stuff I would want to see after that. It's a mm-hmm. perpetuating, never-ending kind of, like, there's just despair at the end of this tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little torn on the subject, though.
I get it, man. By the way, someone brought up a deleted scene from Justice League and asked who the Asian scientist was, and he said Ryan Choi.
Mm.
Of course. Everyone's freaking out about it, or a bunch of people are. I don't think we were actually going to see the Atom. I think that was an Easter egg. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah. Why not do like a zoom in, you see Choi on his name badge kind of thing? Why not? It's fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, we're going to move over to TV proper. Facebook.com/group/DC On Screen Podcast. Leave us a voicemail, 205-259-6331, if you're not following along, because we've got some Gotham spoilery kind of things, maybe. They're spoilery, but people put them out, you know. And then took them back a little bit. Anyway, over to Gotham.
Shoot.
A fan site, Gotham Hub, has mentioned that the fifth and final season of Gotham is going to premiere on March 15th, 2019. So there is that. I don't know if that's true, but that's what this fan site is reporting. I'm excited about this, though. The season premiere is apparently going to... take place 87 days, nearly 3 months after the last episode, and then subsequently they will also do another time jump in the premiere 391 days after the last finale.
Wow.
Two time jumps in one premiere.
That's a lot to play with.
It's exciting, isn't it?
I'm going to go with a giant cup of we'll see. Just chug that.
Uh-huh. And on Wednesday... The Gotham writer-producer, I think it's Zee Chun, they shared an image on Twitter
mm-hmm.
that had the title of one of the episode scripts, and it was 507, titled Ace Chemicals, and he wrote hashtag Joker. and then he deleted the tweet. But actress
like deleting a tweet can create some false narrative now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that probably amped up the excitement.
Yeah.
But actress,
blah, 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 it's got to be valid. Maybe. I don't know.
Actress Brett Taylor, though, she played Martha over in the pilot of Gotham. She put out a tweet. It was a picture of her sitting with Cameron Monaghan and Sean Pertwee, Alfred, with the caption, "Taking a break with the gang," and a hashtag for Martha Wayne.
Okay, well, that feels like it's probably something. Why would those people be in a room?
Yeah, right? And then, like, other people have reported that she is going to be in episode 507.
I got to give it that one. That one does feel like it's something.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I want to see the thing. I would have to do some deep IMDb research to figure out why those three people would be sitting next to each other than that project.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what episode was that to do? I don't know, but...
It's for Gotham, man. For Gotham.
It's got to be Gotham.
People aren't doing anything else.
Yeah.
Over to the Arrowverse. I'm Mulligan so excited, man.
For sure.
The Arrowverse crossover is called Elseworlds. I'm so happy about that.
Yeah. And I still don't know what to do with it, but I'm happy. I'm excited.
If you don't know what Elseworlds is out there, it was an imprint at DC that ran from 89 to 2010. It was basically the characters. It was basically the DC version of Marvel's What If, and I think they started it first, but I'm not sure about that. Don't quote me on that. But I loved Elseworlds and What If so much. Like, those were my favorite comics when I was a kid. I would read the Elseworlds stuff from DC and the What If titles from Marvel. Because I just loved those. Like, over here in this alternate universe, this weird shit happened. You're like, what?
They're
Wolverine killed Strife? What?
They're doing some What If now in Marvel again. Like, I was in a shop today, and somebody said, you need to check that out. And yeah, uh-huh. they've got more What If titles on the shelf now.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
And I we're doing this as I'm staring at a copy of Justice League Nail.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, these things were really fun. And to me now, it's become kind of a concept.
Mm-hmm.
It was a real thing, but it's more of a concept now.
Yeah.
You just step outside. It's like, I don't know. It's like the graphic novel come to... It's a good word to, I don't know, summarize what a graphic novel can do, I guess.
Yeah.
You just tell the story another way, and sometimes it actually sticks and becomes part of continuity, and sometimes it's just, oh, God, that was a really fun thing we did.
Yeah. So, I mean, they did kind of... They made most of the Elseworlds into, like, just different universes after the New 52. Like, it was just like, oh, that's the Dark Knight universe. Oh, that's, you know...
Yeah,
steampunk, whatever. So yeah, it looks like that's what they're doing with the crossover. I'm really excited about it. They might be setting up something in the future as well. If you'll remember the 2024 Flash Crisis newspaper, and they have cast somebody. I'll talk about it in a minute. That might be leading up to that.
It does seem like they might be setting themselves up for a lot of conversations. About,
absolutely.
Is this Elseworld? Is this not? All that kind of stuff, which can be a lot of fun in the future. Depends.
And well, they've been teasing that we're going to see Earth 19's Accelerated Man more in the future. So yeah. This could be a perfect opportunity for it. We've got Nora Free. She could be like, you know, Batwoman's universe might be like, maybe they're just setting it up in that universe where there is no Batman. Maybe it's only Batwoman. And Mr. Freeze is really Mrs. Freeze, you know? And
honestly,
maybe it's
I think
just
that's
like,
the smartest thing.
Yeah.
Because a lot of... when I saw the phrase Elseworld, one part of me thought, we're not going to do a big crossover. Because that's what that means, is we're not going to do like the big mm-hmm. giant crossover. And Legends isn't going to be part of the crossover now.
Right.
What are we getting for that sacrifice? Well, we're getting like a nice economical world where they can play with things and maybe have way more fun than we otherwise would have had. Because,
right.
We've done some serious crossovers. We did Alien mm-hmm. Invasion... We did Nazi Elseworld, basically, that crossed over into our actual world. Nazi Parallel Universe, whatever. We did some crossovers. Like, how do you mm-hmm. make that bigger? How do you do the next big step? Well, maybe you actually step back and tell a different story and don't even have to apologize for telling a different story. That could be really cool.
Yeah. I love alternate universes, parallel realities. I love all of that stuff. That is like one of my favorite things, if not my favorite thing, in all of science fiction and fantasy. So I am just over the moon right now about this idea, and it's what I honestly wanted more of from Earth X last year. We've got Lost star Jeremy Davies. He's going to be playing Dr. John Deegan, a doctor at Arkham Asylum for the criminally insane in Gotham City. He might just be crazier than the inmates he treats. That guy is really good at playing that role. His machinations will draw Green Arrow, The Flash, and Supergirl to Gotham City. He was on Constantine. You'll remember him on Constantine. He was one of the Newcastle people.
Yeah, that guy.
He's the guy that, like, evolved to another plane of reality.
Bender guy. Yeah. could just... Yeah. No, I mean, I already know who you're talking about. And I didn't...
Yeah.
You described a character and said he was unconscious. I was like, oh, yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
That's how well that casting works for me.
Here's another casting, though, and this is great.
Oh, by the way, that would actually be kind of neat, is if there was an Elseworld that tied in. Because we've been annoyed a couple times because there has been Arrowverse casting that conflicted with Constantine casting. Mm-hmm. This could be a lot of fun.
Yeah, but Arrowverse casting conflicts with Arrowverse casting. So...
Yeah, but when you bring in an Elseworld, it could be something that feeds into itself. Like, that could be a conversation we're having. I'm excited about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm excited about this. LaMonica Garrett of Designated Survivor and a bunch of other shit has been cast for the Elseworlds crossover as the Monitor.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
And I don't really know his body of work, but he's cute.
We have a Monitor. I don't give a shit.
Dude, he's like ripped too. Like he looks sick. Like
that's fair.
I'm excited about
Monitor
that.
Monitor always he's looks playing... sick when you see him.
Yeah, absolutely. Marnovu.
I think it was the recent Justice League where he actually does physically look sick. He's not well.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that,
well, I mean, like by thick, I mean by sick, I mean thick is what I mean. Like he's ripped. He's playing an extraterrestrial being of infinite power known as the Monitor. Mm-hmm. And per comicbook.com, their explanation, because I didn't have time to type it out, and also my fingers are gone.
Oh,
the Monitor...
Poor fingers.
It's hard to type. The Monitor was created by Marv Wolfman.
You've done well for not having fingers.
Thank you. The Monitor was created by Marv Wolfman and George Perez as part of DC Comics' 50th anniversary. And... he was one of two ageless beings, the other being the Anti-Monitor, who personified and wielded the energies of the matter and antimatter universes. Crisis on Infinite Earths dealt with the idea that since the matter universe had been split into infinite multiverse, each of the individual universes were weaker, leaving them more vulnerable to attack by the Anti-Monitor than they otherwise would have been. So that's your little breakdown of who the guy was in the comics,
mm-hmm.
and where he stands in the mythos. I'm excited they're even introducing this. I would love it if in 2024 we got, you know, a Monitor and Anti-Monitor proper, and they just really did, like, you know, it up.
You could bite off the entire freaking apple, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's an exciting possibility.
Yeah. Over on Arrow, we've got a casting. Shadowhunters star Catherine McNamara. McNamara,
sure,
has been cast in a major role. They're likening her to Buffy the Vampire Slayer, maybe like a superhero slayer. We've heard that mentioned before in details about this season coming up. But they're referring to her as a scrappy street fighter and a thief from Star City. I don't know Shadowhunters. I don't know her body of work, but she cute.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, there's going to be more casting, and I'm not going to keep doing that joke. They're all cute. Every one of these people are Kyo.
It's the right, CW, yo. Of course.
It's Black Lightning.
It's a thing there.
Black Lightning's got a new person. Kieran Giovanni. She is from... I didn't write it down, I guess. Bunch of shows, TNT stuff, I don't know. I don't know her body of work, you know, blah, 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 Kyo. Mm-hmm. But she's been cast as a person named Cutter. Smart, proud, tough, beautiful woman, more than able to best a man in combat. That's that line is via Deadline. Mm-hmm. She also happens to be a mercenary that was trained by British intelligence. I'm down. Oh, she was on TNT's Major Crimes. I did write that down. Krypton. They have cast Lobo, dude, and you're going to be excited.
Go.
Emmett J. Scanlon.
Okay. Walk me through who I'm supposed to remember early.
Oh. The Spectre, Jim Corrigan, on Constantine. He's going to be Lobo.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I mean, admittedly, like, the picture they showed of him on the site, like, he kind of, like, he's got, like, the beard and all, but he kind of looks like, you know, hottie-totty 90210 version of Lobo, but whatever. It's Lobo.
I don't care. Yeah, no, he's...
I liked him on Constantine.
Yeah, I know the kind of attitude that guy can play, and yes.
Yeah. They have him set to recur as the character, and they're describing him pretty much as he is in the comics. Ruthless bounty hunter who murdered his entire species. I am really, 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 really hoping that they let him have his humor, though. Like, Krypton is not a show known for its humor, not too much. Like, Adam Strange is a little funny.
Yeah, but...
And I don't mean that on multiple levels, serious, by the way. Yeah. Just so we're clear, I don't want any hate mail. Like, he is a little humorous, I guess I should say.
Humorous, sure.
I don't know what they're gonna... What?
I guess that's a good clarification, sure.
Yeah, like, I just want to make sure. You know, everybody's getting run off Twitter these days, I don't know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm excited about this guy. I think, I mean, I've been excited since they said Lobo. I'm like, you know what, Krypton kind of gave me a case of the meh, but you know what, Lobo sounds fun. Let's do that. Did you see the new Titans trailer?
I didn't exactly have a case of the meh.
Oh, okay.
I did like it. I really did like it. Especially for how short it was and how condensed it was.
See, I felt like it was a little long. It felt longer than it was, which is not a good sign.
Yeah, I what I'm about to say is a contradiction in terms, but...
That's fine.
We're two different people.
It's okay for us to disagree.
I do feel like it could have told its story better and tighter. But looking back now, I think, well, they got a lot done. And it wasn't that many episodes. I know I remember saying, like, yeah, they probably should have snuck that in less time. But looking back, I kind of remember it differently.
You know what? But I think it really does. Like, they might have done a really good job. It might have been really super tight. It may just be a job of, as Brent Clark from Fans Without Borders put it, I don't care about Superman's grandpa. Like, I think that just hones in on the real problem of the show so far for me. Like, I think it was just an internal problem. Like, I'm looking at it, and I'm like, you could do anything. I don't care. I'm trying real hard, but I just don't care yet. But, you know, they've got Lobo. Let's do this. They left it in a weird good place, so.
They did, and I think I did actually care about Superman's grandpa.
That's awesome.
They found me at a good pacing where, I don't, like, even in the pilot where they kill the poor Zod, like, he...
Mm-hmm. As opposed to the poor Zod? Oh.
I think I kind of like the actor, is what it may have came down to on that one. I like the play.
No. I like the guy playing his great-grandfather or whatever. Like, like the main character, Cameron, is Superman's grandfather.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Wrong shot.
I get you.
Yeah. The great-grandfather.
Yeah.
Well done.
I like
Superman's grandfather.
I like all of them. I'm just kind of not caring yet.
I end up liking that too. Sorry. I did. It caught me at a good time too, where I had a little bit of space to breathe. I had a moment to take it differently. And I was open to it. So it worked for me.
I wound up really liking the Zod storyline. And I wound up really liking the little girl and feeling bad for her.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Brainiac was a beast, but I don't know. I struggled with it a little bit. I'm still trying to stay positive, you know. I don't want to anger anyone.
Yeah.
But, you know.
I am still down. I am still down for it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is.
All right. The new Titans trailer. You
new
saw
Titans.
This thing, right?
Yes.
Are they implying that Batman disappeared for a year? Or has it disappeared for over a year?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you think they're implying at the beginning of that trailer? They're like, we haven't seen him in a year. Why would he be in Detroit? Blah, blah, blah. I hope he's just passing through.
I'm not sure. I'm really not.
Yeah. I feel like that was like... I feel like maybe they're trying to bring up somebody else, but they're trying to make us think that they're talking about Batman in the trailer. I don't know. But I'm amped for the show, but so far in this trailer, about half of the cast seems like they're really bad, and I hope that's not true.
Oh, I haven't had a problem with the cast at all. I actually thought you'd point out something different.
Oh, that was my first thing, is that, like, some of it was just a little over the top. Like, you know, sometimes on Gotham, they can just be like, did you know you were in a show? This show? Did you? Okay. Well, continue to overact.
Yeah, sometimes with Gotham, you think someone's, like, in a community theater kind of play, and they're like, oh, no, you're on national television. Yeah. Like, oh, crap. I didn't get
that
at all.
Sort of like the guy that played Commodore Decker in Star Trek. He was in one episode, and he just, like, overacted.
Yeah.
And then, like, years later, he was like, I thought I was on a kid's show. And then, like, looking back on it, I'm like, oh, I shouldn't have played it like that at all.
Yeah. Like, literally retconned the acting. No, I didn't get that at all. Not from the actual acting.
Good.
The one thing I thought you were going to have a bone to pick with was Gar's Tiger transformation.
Why?
I'm rarely the person to actually point this out, but it did look a little off, and I kind of hope they work on that.
I mean, the CGI looked bad, but I'm pretty used to it at this point.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That was, honestly, that was about my only problem with it. Seriously.
There's that, and then there was a clip later of him changing back, and he was naked, and they're like, why are you naked? And Starfire laughing at that, and I guess I just see that scene with that context and just went, I'm good. If they have good humor, I don't care if the CGI is bad.
Yeah, and
which is also a case for why I enjoy Justice League, by the way. I liked the humor enough.
That's fair.
But was it perfect, but I liked it enough.
You remember the old Wolfman freaking Judas Contract kind of era stuff?
Yeah.
It was all very sexy. Everyone was kind of hitting on each other at any given point. Felt like a soap opera at some points.
Absolutely. And in this trailer, we get looks like Starfire's about to get the dick. Dick Grayson, that is.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of like that as an homage to it. Some part of me does want Gar to be kind of hitting on everyone at every point, because that makes sense.
Yeah, I can see that.
But overall, I kind of watched it and thought, well, all right, the action looks fantastic. Raven and all her special effects look fantastic. I'm on board. I actually like them incorporating everybody else. It's a show that's got a lot of depth right now. And then, the 4.5 minutes we've seen, I'm kind of excited. But the one thing watching the trailer, I was like, I would like you to work on that tiger. That's all.
That tiger? Yeah.
That's it. I would like you to work on the tiger. Other than that, I'm pretty on board. The fight scenes look fantastic.
Yeah. They look pretty good.
Just the tiger. Just work out that tiger for me.
Yeah. Just some of the villains and stuff. Specifically, Dove seemed like she was not... I don't know if it was the way they cut her lines to fit in the trailer, or if it was something else, if it was just her being not great or the lines being kind of weird. I don't know. But something about her, I didn't like her delivery of, it's hard to raise a kid, blah, blah, blah. You of all people. What happened between you and Bruce? And I didn't buy that delivery at all. And those, whatever the bad guys were.
The guys in the alley?
No, not them. They weren't great, but
yeah, they're disposable. We're going to worry about them.
They're disposable. I'm talking about larger framed woman and man, I think, and they were in white clothes or something. I don't know. Mm. I don't remember now. But they said some stuff, and it was just ugh, that was a weird line. That was a weird way to put that. I don't know. We'll see. I'm excited for it still. As excited as I can be with all these superhero shows on my plate. I feel like I'm drowning a little bit.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah. We always are.
But, that doesn't stop me from looking at the still Stephen Amell puts out of him, fighting a dude naked and me going, damn.
Yeah, I get it. That being said, this week I watched the first episode of The Gifted and thought, oh, it has begun.
I still haven't watched The Gifted, and I don't plan on it right at this point. I'm just not even playing with it.
I did. I enjoyed it.
I'm glad. I'm so glad for you. My wife says I'm still watching it, and I feel stupid for it.
Oh, I can't get with that. I enjoyed it. The Runaways is one of those where, if I watch it again, I'll think, I'm just buying into Fool Me Twice.
I mean, we've all got one of those, yeah. I guess, or more.
Yeah.
Gifted was one of those where they were it's not in the movie universe, it's not connected to MCU, it's like, oh, it's cool, it's not connected to anything. I don't have to watch it. Thank you, God, I don't have to watch it.
I kind of watched it and thought, well, this is refreshing. I don't have to care about it connecting to anything.
Yeah. By the way, you want to know what I want to see in the crossover more than anything? I want to see Hartley, Justin Hartley as Green Arrow.
Oh, that would be fantastic. There was that picture from a while back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can we just get a shot of Arkham and just have a plate that says C. Sullivan on it?
Mm.
Just Chloe Sullivan
that
stuck in a...
That would be fantastic. And do it like they did Arrow, where it's just literally just a blonde yelling some crazy stuff. That was all we got.
Uh-huh. Yeah. what happened with you and Chloe? Oh, you don't want to know, man. Let's just say I ended it when she branded me.
What happened to Chloe? Got a little weird. Got a little weird. I want to talk about it.
Anyway, Swamp Thing. Jennifer Beals has been cast in Swamp Thing. She was in Taken. She's in The Grudge 2, Book of Eli, The L Word, Flashdance. Yeah, she's been in a bunch of stuff. I wasn't crazy about her in Taken. My wife watches Taken. I do not.
Yeah.
Whole swaths of that show are bad, though. The girl that plays... who's the girl that dates Cisco on The Flash? What's her name on the show?
Gypsy.
Gypsy. God, I just couldn't pull it out.
That even took me a minute. I don't remember her real name. Or her actual Gypsy. Real name.
Right, no, me either. She's on Taken, though. Trash. Just like, that whole show was trash.
The whole thing. Flush it. You're done.
And I'm like, I've seen you do good work. Like, the only person on that show is the guy playing the young Liam Neeson. He does a pretty good job of playing a young Liam Neeson.
See, that's pretty funny.
I've seen maybe two episodes of this thing, and it's just, oh, what are we doing? I think it's been canceled now, thankfully.
I laughed.
Thanks to the great Bird of the Galaxy.
Whoever on the internet pointed this out to me was like, Taken 1, we'll call it. Oh my God, my daughter's taken, or whatever. Taken 2, oh my God, my daughter's taken again. Taken 3, you're a bad parent. I don't know where I saw that. I don't know who to attribute it to, but it's a good point. And when they brought up the whole, like, we're going to do it as a TV series, it's like, oh yeah, that's a DHR nightmare.
Yeah. And it's weird, too. It's like, oh, it's him before he's him, but it's set in present day.
Everyone's taken.
It's not really canon. It's not canon.
Everyone keeps getting taken. It's a weird premise I just kind of laughed at.
Yeah.
Moved on.
It just, the Taken movies always reminded me of the Death Wish movies, where it was just like Charlie Bronson running around like, oh, his wife and children were murdered. And then Death Wish 2 is like, his girlfriend's daughter is in trouble. And then, like, Death Wish 3 is like, his cousin's orthopedist has a missing dog.
Death Wish 4. There's a fourth cousin he had heard of sometime. I think he met him at a family reunion.
Right.
He carries around, at this point, an aged copy of a Christmas card he once carried that he thinks might be that guy. We're killing everyone.
And like, yeah. Death Wish 5. Those damn kids won't get off my lawn.
Yeah. That's where that ends. For sure that is where that ends.
Anyway.
Or Death Wish 5. DMV.
Mm-hmm.
Jar Rabbits first.
DMV. Doom Patrol. We have a negative man. Matt Bomer, I guess, from White Collar, American Horror Story, and Glee. I don't know the cat, but cute. Stargirl. We've got her. Breck Basinger, as far as I can tell, she's not related to Kim Basinger. She was on All Night and School of Rock. I don't remember her from anything. She's going to be Stargirl. Courtney Whitmore. Yeah, in the upcoming DC Universe show. And, excitingly, Watchmen, HBO's Watchmen, scored by Nine Inch Nails.
I have been excited about a lot of things. Oh, this excites me very much.
I mean, I know there's going to be some people out there like, oh, how could they do that? Well, they did it just fine with The Social Network.
Trent and Atticus can do things, you just wait.
I mean, they've scored stuff.
Oh, no, they've done plenty. They have won my heart.
Oh, yeah.
Dear sir.
They've won awards. They have won awards for it.
Sir.
So, I am more than happy. That sounds absolutely fine to me. Like, you are way more excited about it than I am.
I'm viscerally really cool. Excited about it. But it's one of my favorite people and group of peoples, and now just a couple peoples, I guess, making music. But damn, man, that was very exciting news for me.
Mm-hmm. And it to me, it lends credibility to it. Like, I have liked their scoring work, and who knew back in the day when you were listening to Closer that they're going to be winning Academy Awards for scoring.
Let's do let's get physical or suck or something. Yeah, like it. There's like late 1980s, man. There's no indication that this is what we would be doing right now. And yet here we are, mm-hmm. and I'm excited, and I think for sure they have the chops to do it, and it's going to be fantastic.
Absolutely, I'm on board, y'all. And finally, we got a little bit of news here, and it's going to be such a letdown based on that last one.
Mm.
CW has revealed Constantine the Legend Continues, the animated series for CW Seed, starring Matt Ryan, which is great. It's going to start airing in October. I wouldn't watch it until they put out the Blu-ray, honestly, because they always come back and be like, oh, here's like 40 minutes of extra material.
As opposed to the 30
minutes.
This
is why the show didn't seem like a good show.
You gave it to us. Yeah.
This is why we jumped plot points and didn't make any damn sense.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's
going to be in the same continuity as City of Demons, which means it's going to be in the same continuity as Justice League Dark. It will not be in the Legends of Tomorrow continuity, nor the Constantine NBC continuity. So, you know, people who are only following that don't have to worry about watching this damn thing. And we'll watch it at some point, because we are going to be making our way through the animated movies.
Yeah.
At some point. So we have a flashpoint in the can. We'll post it when, you know, something happens. Like I cut my fingers off again, or Jason has a kid here in a minute.
Yeah. Seconds from now.
Oh, by the way, I guess we do have some more news. Phantom Events, November 12th. And I've looked at our calendar. We share a calendar on our phone.
Do we?
And I've noticed that's the due date. We do.
That is.
It's just Google doesn't know what to do with all of our different accounts, mm-hmm. so it just like throws all of our shit together. And I'm like, well, I went to look into the calendar, and it says due date. And I went, oh, I don't think Jason will be coming.
What term paper? Oh, okay.
Batman Mask of the Phantasm, Phantom Events. Me and Bethany already have our tickets. We're going to go see it with Scott. Just found out about it last night. And was about to message you when I looked down and went, oh, this is the due date.
Yeah,
I'll talk to him tomorrow about it.
I'm deeply envious.
I'm sorry, man.
I am. But I have
yeah.
I have like a single person ticket to Anthony Jeselnik and David Cross in the couple weeks before.
Ooh.
It's one of those
now
where
I'm
like,
kind of envious.
I may not even make it. But if I do, it'd be fantastic. But I'm just gonna get right back home after it's one of those like go out, get back home. Mm-hmm. You don't know what's happening right now. Shit can get weird.
Gotta be on
guard.
Go out,
get back home.
Yeah, yeah, makes sense. So yeah, tickets for Mask of the Phantasm should be. Go to Fathom Events, check it out. If you guys are into that and want to go see the Mask of the Phantasm in theaters, I missed it when I was a kid. I missed it in theaters, so it was out for such a short amount of time. But I was like in line to get that VHS, buddy.
Oh yeah, you probably had like 3 weeks.
I was
weeks
like, wait, it's gone.
It came out.
I don't even think it was that. I really don't. Because yeah, I was like anticipating it, like, we got to go do this. And they're like, oh, it'll be out for a minute. And then it wasn't. Like, oh, I guess it's gone. No! I was a kid. I was real like, I mean, let's face it, I haven't changed that much. But, yeah. Anyway, that's going to do it, I think. That's it. That's all I have for this week. Facebook.com/groups/DCOnScreenPodcast. Leave us a voicemail, 205. What?
Titans Internationally.
I was going to ask you if you had anything. Huh?
Titans Internationally. Do we do that?
Oh, yeah. The international thing.
Yeah.
Titans is going to be on Netflix internationally. I forgot about that.
That is all.
You told me I had it in my notes, and then I didn't have it because you told me. Like, I just... I had it in the one tab.
Three of you.
I had it on the one tab. I was going to stick it in the notes, and then Jason told me about it, and then I went... I'm like, yeah, I know, or whatever. Oh. I told you about it, something. You said it, and I thought you meant that. Never mind. Anyway, so he brought it up. It confused me. I looked at the one tab and went, oh, we already put that in, because
right.
I remembered talking about it. So, yeah, Titans is going to be on internationally on Netflix.
Not domestically on Netflix.
Not domestically, but internationally.
That you still have to pay for.
Yeah.
$7.99 a month, or whatever for, I think it's 76. I think it's 76, 75, $75.99, I think it's the amount I remember for yearly. Anyway, still gonna do DCU.
Yeah. Well, Titans. I don't know if they're gonna do anything, but they'll probably do the other things.
Yeah.
Until DC Universe gets their shit together and puts it out internationally.
At the moment,
at the moment. They're trying to make a bunch of stuff, and they need to make their money back. So paid subscription, yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
That's the model.
I mean,
that's what you're doing.
CBS All Access is having the same problem. They've go to Netflix internationally for Discovery.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, was there anything else?
Nope.
Did you have anything? Okay. As I was saying, leave us a voicemail, 205-259-6331. And, well, I don't know. We'll talk to you later. Talk to you next week if everything works out.
Bye-bye.
Later. Oh, yeah. Keep some DC on your screen. Our opening narration was from Dan Juergens' The History of the DC Universe, Part 3 of 10, as featured in DC 52, Week 4. It was performed by me, David C. Robertson. Intro music by Jason Goss and Michael Shackelford. Michael's band, Future Elevators, could be found on Spotify or future-elevators.com. Our introduction was performed by Effie Opelders of the fantastic podcast Stealing the Remote, which lives on SoundCloud. It can also be found on iTunes and Stitcher. We are proudly in partnership with TV Time, TV show calendar and social media site that lets you keep track of what you're watching, what your friends are watching, and where you all left off. DC On Screen is a Maladjusted production. Visit maladjusted.tv for more from me and Jason, including sketch comedy, an improvised web series, vlogs, parodies, and more.